For people who are new to this case, explain what you have been convicted of.
Yes. You know, the government has put in what my dear friend Bill Kunstler used to call weasel words, words that don't state the exact fact but really pull a kind of reaction. So they use words like smuggled out messages. We would visit the sheikh. He would tell us, he would dictate to us letters, he would dictate to us press releases. The real thrust of my conviction is that I made a press release very openly to Reuters, no secret, nothing under the bra straps, and that press release called for a reconsideration, not an end to the ceasefire, but a reconsideration of a unilateral ceasefire that the Sheikh's group, which he of course had not been a member of for over 10 years at the time he made the release, had made in Egypt. Ramsey Clark had announced his original position, which was in support of the ceasefire. Ramsey Clark never heard from the government at all. I made the press release saying, I think you should reconsider this ceasefire, and a year and a half later, I was indicted.
You have written a letter to the judge. Explain this letter.
Yes. I'm afraid that if you only read the New York Times, you may get the wrong impression. It's not a craven, begging letter. I am still very sure of my principled stand in this whole matter, that everything I did as a lawyer, that I never intended to aid my client's cause. I intended to aid this man who was in terrible isolation. Now, if we saw it today, we would say, oh yes, this is the torture. This is the kind of torture that we see at Abu Ghraib, that we see at Guantanamo. He had no contact with the outside world. He could not even speak with his jailers. He had one call a month for 15 minutes to his wife and a call a week to his lawyers. He could not pick up a book to relieve this isolation, because he's blind. He was so diminished. He was in such terrible shape when I went to see him in May of 2000, hallucinating almost out of this terrible sensory deprivation. And I just felt that to keep hope alive, as a lawyer, that's what we do. We say, we can continue fighting this. We can work on this. I agreed to make this press release, never imagining that it would become part of a criminal case. I thought the worst that could happen, which was actually spelled out in the regulations, was that they might deprive me of the ability to visit him. If that happened, he still had Ramsey Clark and Abdin Jabara to visit, and we would have been able to go to court and fight the case. I told the judge all of this in that letter, because I wanted him to understand how defense lawyers function. We function on behalf of the client. We become involved with the client. There's a mutuality there. And people find it, you know, we always ask, how could you defend that guy? Well, there's something that happens. There's a chemistry that happens. And maybe it's the adversary system, which I've always been a backer of. I think it is the best way to decide criminal matters. You become allied with your client, not in his goals, not in his political goals, not in his life goals, but in the sense that you want to further his cause of getting out from under these opprobrious conditions.
We're talking to Lynn Stewart. It's just just an hour before she heads to court. She was tried in the same courtroom as the Rosenbergs were more than a half a century ago. We'll be back with her in a minute.